Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we love you. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not going to introduce no football player. I'm talking about the Creator. Good morning, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We got more work to do. We got a lot of work to do. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, I'm going to say, because it was forgotten, I'm going to put those announcements from now on as a headline. When we get to paying tithes, God loves a cheerful giver. That's part of the worship service. That's part of it. And everybody's been here long enough knows I don't beg for money. I don't ask for money all the time. Barely ever mention it. But I like to remember that God loves a cheerful giver when we come up here, because he does what he says he's going to do. Amen?
Amen.
So glory to God. I'm glad you're here today. It's good to see everybody. I thank the Lord for each one of you. And we miss those that are gone today that are sick with it. What is this cold stuff going around again? And different things like that, some on vacation. But anyway, we're glad you're here. I'm glad those that are warning. I thank the Lord for them also. You're all vitally important to the kingdom of God. And this is what God told us to do through his word. Every Sunday morning, we take a time to come together for fellowship, to encourage. Just look at somebody this morning and say, I'm glad you're here. Now you got to look at somebody. You just can't look forward. There you go. I'm glad you're here. There I got everybody. Praise the Lord. We rejoice, for this is the day that you've made. You will fulfill everything you desire in this day. Rejoice in this day because, Lord, you're still on the throne. No matter what's happening in politics, what's happening in the world is being tossed around, wars, rumors of wars, riots, protests. Lord, we need not own. And you are ultimately in charge of everything. So Lord, we come this morning thanking you and praising you for allowing us to be here. To ask that your anointing be upon the people. Let your supernatural hand be upon people, Lord, again, that came forward for healing, for whatever pressure, and did answer. So Lord, we come to you with grateful hearts, thankful hearts, and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, yeah. Again, let's say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We got to let the devil know it.
Hallelujah.
We got shouting out evil stuff. Why can't we do it? I just watched a video this week where a church had, literally, not a Satan church, an evangelical church, dressed in witch costumes. Devil is coming out of the woodwork. You and I need that. We can't be afraid to say praise the Lord, especially in the church. It should be the easiest place to do it. It's not that hard out the Lord in front of people, unsaved people too. Not for show, but to let them know who I serve. Because sometimes they say, what'd you say that for? It's usually because they use his name. Praise him. Too quiet in here. Hallelujah. But we need to be outspoken in the hour we're living. We need to finish the book of Acts. And those people, if you read the book, they went around and witnessed, they raised the dead, they healed the sick, they worshiped God, people got saved in that first church. And I believe we're coming up on a time. And only those who really desire to be involved in that end time church are going to experience the power of God. It's true. If you're just mundane and complacent, you aren't going to sense the presence of God. I think, you can correct me, but I think it was Elijah in Genesis or whatever, and it was a story. But anyway, I believe Jacob said, God was here and I didn't even know it. And he's here today and several of us don't even know it. But this morning before.
Amen.
And he desires to move amongst us because he wants to do a work in your life and in my life. He's a supernatural. Speak on this morning. My message for today is one God, Abba Father. One God, Abba Father. Last week, I want to talk about our Heavenly Father today because he's here. And we need to be encouraged by that and knowing that he isn't at, when we don't know it. He's at work. And so this morning, even when I preach, I know the Holy Spirit is going to maybe do something in your heart, speak to your heart. Some will say, ho-hum, but that's okay. Because there will be a time down the road you'll want to hear about your Heavenly Father. Young people in here today, we need more young people in this church. And we've got colleges all around us and high schools or whatever and start inviting young people into the church. There's a hunger out there with young people and they're being misled in this hour. They're being misled about life itself and they're being misled about AI. I listened on Fox News, two teenage young guys. Oh, if God would have had a born-again Christian there to talk to these young men, they'd still be alive today. And stuff so horribly wrong in this world we're living that we need to be active in our speaking. But believe me, there's a hunger in the youth. There's a hunger in the colleges. And he'd believe me. But the thing that ties and binds us together as Christians, Jesus passionately prayed that his church, you and I, if you're in here this morning and you are a born-again Christian, God desires for you and I to be one. It says, "May be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe." That's how the world will know for our love one for another. That's how the world will know that we greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. No matter what we look like, our nationality, are one of us. And we're to love each one of our brothers and sisters in Christ. He's not a respecter of persons. That's why Jesus wants in chapter 17 and 11 and verses 21 and 23. That's what God and the Holy Spirit want the church to be in unity of spirit and in the church too. How many want that in church to be unified? Amen. That when you walk in here, you really feel that you're part of the body of Christ. Amen? I don't care if it's your first meet on Sunday that you come in here knowing this is a great place to be, to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. And hopefully that's what we will. Unity and oneness and achieving it are two different things, believe you me. I learned that. Often differences among people can lead to disagreements. Agreements is what Satan uses to tear a church apart and bring disunity. And that's sad, isn't it? When we should be one, we get church and people have left this church for petty things. In eternity, they mean nothing. But yet they will leave a church and tear down the kingdom. Because everything in here, you're not going to agree with everything I say. And you're not going to disagree with everything somebody else might say in here either, right? We're not. What you and I come together on is if it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what it's all about. That we are unified in the doctrine of salvation. Apart, and he's doing a really good job of it around the world. However, the more points of agreement that you and I agree on among members, we're going to be unified the more we agree on. Because we all agree that Jesus is Lord, amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, I got a little bit better response here, so I know that's better. The more we agree, we'll be to fight and to speak into the church in general. We'll be less desiring to want to be argumental, critical, or anything else if we come together in the things. Forget about every dime the pastor spends When you bring your money to church, it's not your money. It's God's. He's the one that asked for it. When we come together as a church body, the pastor is the lead. He's the one in charge of the finances and the leader, the board. You may not agree every time on every dime spent, but that's just the way it is. But there will be people who will make a big deal and criticize just because they disagreed with it, which is foolishness. It's immature stupidity that we will allow the... That's why Paul gives us a built-in list of ones, a built-in list of ones that can bind believers together. In chapter or verses 3 through 6, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the body, one Spirit, even as ye are called the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism through all and in you all. That binds us together. The ones. The ones. The Son, of what he did on the cross. That brings us together as the body, what he did on the cross. The final tie that binds believers together is God himself. Specifically, is it all together himself. As Christians, we have in common the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the final point of commonality, remember that there's not three gods, there's one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they are one. In Ephesians that I just read, the Father of how many?
All.
All, the Father of all. The Bible has many names and descriptions for God. He's called the ever, the most high, the ancient of days, and many, many more. As you go through scripture, you'll find names of God you didn't even know were in there when you start reading the Bible all the way through. But perhaps the most surprising is God the Father, the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. Even though God is most and the Lord most high, he's also described message, but I just had to preach it today because I believe we need encouragement, even though you don't... You're not showing that you're encouraged yet, so I got to keep preaching. Further, when he writes to the Galatians in 4:6, it says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The cry, our hearts, Abba. Father uses as an intimate name and a respectful name, Abba, Father. The name Abba Father is one of the most significant names of God in understanding how he relates with you and I. Calling God Abba Father anchors in number one. Again, is the first, it's intimacy. The word Abba is an Aramaic word that means father, would most closely be translated as papa or daddy. On social media, even in here, that you didn't have a good relationship with a father. You never had someone you could call daddy or papa. A lot of family, and it's a sad deal. But this father I'm talking about this morning is the father of all, the creator that you can call out. He's not offended if you call him papa. And even young people growing up sometimes and may not have had a good relationship or anything, you can go to this father and you can cry, he'll understand. And he'll take you through that part of your life, the time of your life when you thought nobody cares, but the father does. The one I'm talking about, the father to his child, as well as a childlike trust that a young child puts in his or her daddy. I know as we were raising Amy, she looked at me, smartest too, best looking. But she had total trust in me as her dad. And that's really what our Heavenly Father wants for us. He is the smartest, and he is the better looking one too, by the way. But putting that aside, we can say, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. That's Jesus addresses the Father with deep intimacy, showing total trust and submission during his most trying hour, through the most trying time of his life. He knew, cried out, Abba, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. And some of you are walking through difficult times of your life today, and you like to say, Father, take this cup away. When's that cry? He's with you during that suffering. He's so close, and he's there. But everything that you and I experience in this and everything, they're for a purpose that God will use to help us to walk the straight and narrow, to live with Him for eternity. The devil desires to use our... But if you're walking into something or been in something or God took you out of something, you see the goodness of God. But if you're living right now and you got trials, bring it to pass. Once you take your eyes off the Father, you're going to miss the deliverance. You're going to miss the homecoming. You're going to, I'm your Father, and I care about you. I care. And He'll answer our prayers in His time and in His. We do it when we want something. We're going to miss what God wants to do for our tomorrows. Because right now He's working in every one of us, helping us to become more like. 8, receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He adopted us, and we can cry out to Him, say, Abba, Father. Daddy, Papa. What a God we serve, huh? What an awesome God. What a love. Greek might mean something like, dear Father. Here the believers who receive the Holy Spirit are granted the privilege of addressing Jesus, exemplified. We can do that with our Heavenly Father. The fact that God identifies Him, that God created us and that He cares for us. Who created you? Do you believe that? Or is there space and you end up on earth? What a ridiculous evolutional dum-dums. We are so... See, people just don't pop into existence, and I'm going to give you a discouragement here, but babies aren't delivered by storks. I know if you watch The Grinch, they show the stork and all that, but really that isn't how it happens. Rather, we know that we were created by our parents. They had a hand in creating us. Isn't that something? The creator of the universe literally took you. You can put yourself there and realize that God had His hand. He took particles of dust and started creating you. I don't know about you, but I really love the Lord. I love Jesus. When you start pondering on the good. 14, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered, meaning He shielded me, in fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Despite what the world yourself, you're not an accident. Nobody's an accident. No human being on this earth was an accident. God Himself, fear of nature, or a byproduct of irresponsible parents. You were handmade by God Himself. One day we're going to stand before our Father, the one who put us together, every little cell. And we're going to be, you can trust Him. You can trust Him. See, God even knows your emotions, your desires. He knows it all within you. He knows He developed them within you. God prescribed every single detail of your body. He missed nothing. Now, I know in school can be pretty cruel, can't we, when we're kids? I remember going to school, you're ugly. You're stupid. You're funny looking. You're weird. That affects some children, but not with God. Every one of you in here, He created to look exactly the way you're looking. You hear that, Lynn Theory, if this is recorded? We are in front of Him and how beautifully each one of us really is. As we are. Many young people, even today, even stupid older people, Hollywood, and some of them look so horrible now, I can't believe it. Because they're not content with what the Bible says, that we are beautifully and wonderfully made. In life, who's been rejected, felt unloved, and I can say to them, you're beautiful. And they said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And I said, you're a liar. Because you're beautifully and wonderfully made. That's why I know I'm handsome. Now, everybody in here might say, no, you're one ugly piece of dust. I can say, we're all wonderfully and beautifully made, every one of us. We look exactly. The color of your skin, your hair, your limbs, your organs, the features made with purpose and made exactly the way God wants it. This is a world that wants to bring us apart, to divide us. God put us together, and we are to appreciate no matter who they are, where they're from. He custom made you the way he wanted you, reflecting the craftsmanship of our Creator. Like all human beings, but uniquely different in all details. Every one of us is different. Only God could do that. That's what I heard about somebody, but not in God's eyes. God says they're that way because I've got a purpose and a plan. And he wants to use. Wouldn't it be boring if we all looked alike? I mean, just think if you all look like me. So I know a little bit about looking like somebody else. But in reality, we're as different as night and day too. That God wants to use for all eternity. And he made us beautifully and wonderful. And I tell you, he's an incredible God. Your life is a miracle. Now, for you that didn't say it again with me. My life is a miracle. Yeah, it's a miracle. Believe the abortionist that murder little children in the womb, whatever reasoning they come up with. That's satanic because they're trying to destroy what God has created. Don't even believe, like I said earlier, don't believe AI. And it's already having a great negative influence upon mankind right now. It's a very dangerous thing if it's used in the wrong way. You as a human being. And you'll go through some dark, you younger people, you haven't lived long enough to experience some of life's challenges. But as you do, there will be a, and I want you to remember this sermon. He's right here. He never left. He never will. He said, I will never leave. He's big enough to breathe out stars, yet intricate enough to fashion together the trillions of cells that are in one person. God is who we are. He took time. He knew how to do it. Don't ever let anybody drag you down that you're a nothing. Important. And that trillions of cells that make up every facet of who you are. And God's fatherhood doesn't stop at your creation. He's always there. Always. In the Sermon on Mars Hill, Acts chapter 17, verse 25, it says, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath in all things. God gives us everything we have need of in this life. Everything. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you have need of will. He said, need. Everything you have need of in this life will be added to you. For ourselves, and there are some that teach that. That God is just up there watching all the horrible things and good things happening, and he'll intercede one day. No, he's involved in us. He continues to be involved in the affairs of human life. He provides for our needs. He lacks nothing, and he gives everything. Everything. Every one time, and I said that, and he said to him, no, I earned what I worked for what I got. I earned everything. I said, that may be so, but God gave you the strength, the ability, the wisdom, and how to do it. Everything. You can't name one thing in yourself that you can say that I got it for myself. Eventually, God is the one, the and he's not done. God loved that he would call himself Abba Father. He calls himself Abba. He calls himself Daddy. Papa. Father. We can cry out, Abba, Father, I need you. That conveys his love toward you and I. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it doesn't know this God. That's why they'll criticize us and try to tear us down, because they don't know the tell them about the Father. There's so many hurting hearts out there right now. You and I could leave this place together right now and work all day long and never go home, just telling people about the love of God. Why? I want to reach the colleges in our area and even the high schools if possible, and start sending our people if need. Some of our young want to go in there and reach these young people. There's hurting people in the colleges and high schools. They need to know there's some place where somebody cares, and where God, seeing God as our Abba Father, our caring creator, helps us relate to him too. Our relationship with God parallels that of a parent and a child in many, many ways. Also that he sets boundaries for us. Did you know that? Children, sometimes they get mad about your boundaries, but I tell you, boundaries are needed. And expects us to love and respect him. Children that have no boundaries go off the deep end. They go everywhere and do everything and say, and that parent will set boundaries and say, not in this home. Even though they may like it, mom and dad, break those boundaries, you pay the price. God warned us. Secondly, we are to reverence him as Father. It underlines God's authority. Way, if you are born again, then we're all children of God. If you're in here this morning or you're listening and you're born again, you are a child of God. Child of God. You are a child of the devil. Point blank. God said it. I didn't. He created everybody. No matter what others say. God is Abba Father, Abba God, a father to us all that have been in order to make him our Heavenly Father. We come to him and say, Abba, Father, forgive me for all my sins that I've done in my life. Forgive me them all, and I ask you to come into my life. He'll do it. He said he would. Whomsoever will, come unto me. I'll nowise cast out. Psalms 1, him to all that call upon him in truth. He's right there. He's ready. When you call upon him. Those who pray, those who fight. He said, I'm there. Furthermore, Paul says the one God is an amazing God. He continues in Ephesians 4:6. He says, one God and Father of all. When we come to Christ, he literally comes and lives within us through his Holy Spirit. He is greater than, more than, above, and beyond all that is and was and ever will be. A while back, a Sunday school teacher asked her class to look at TV commercials and see if they could hear just a few of them here. God is like a Ford, he's built tough. Now I know that may have been Dodge people, but hey, baby. Don't you just love kids? God is like Allstate, you're in good hands with him. God is leave behind. Boy, if that one isn't the truth. God is like Hallmark cards, he cares enough to send his very best. The truth is, though, no matter how many metaphors we might find, there's nothing in history or humanity or the ages or nature that offers it. God is simply uncontainable, untamable, unchangeable, incomparable, indescribable. He's just a father is. A few years ago, someone interviewed Chris Tomlin. How many know who Chris Tomlin is? The musician guy? When Chris sat down to write that song, he began with those words, the chorus, how great is our God. And at first, that's all he was in there. He prayed to God. He said, this is all I have, Lord. There's no other words. I can summon up in the English language to describe. He had no other words. For a long time, he just sat there with those words, like a question hanging over his head that he couldn't find an answer for. No one in this world that ever has been or ever will be that can describe who God really is. No one. That's how magnificent. These little words, they're nothing for God. He's way beyond those. Eventually, Chris did finish the song, Borrowing of My Pages of Scripture. You want to see who he is? Here it is. Get into it. It's peppered all the way from Genesis to Revelation. You can see who he really is. He hides nothing. That's how Chris captured his vintage whatsoever when we sing it. Take, for example, Isaiah 55:8-9. And this has always amazed me. I love this scripture because it stops me in my tracks thinking that I can figure out. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Sometimes we try to fix our own things in life or to figure them out. And we think every thought in the world, and we'll say, oh, it's impossible to ever happen. Well, in your and my mind, that may be so, but God, his thoughts are way higher than ours, and his transcendence. His nature and plan are infinitely beyond human understanding. God is infinitely different from us in his thoughts and ways. And say it out loud with me, God is the God of the impossible. Now just put one hand up and say, God is the God of the impossible. God of the impossible. Now, if you can, stand with me and say, God is the God of the impossible. And boy, do I feel good now. You may be seated. I wanted our people on the film to see that we are Pentecostal. We can put our hands up and rejoice in front of the world and say, I believe and trust in God and I'm not ashamed. I'm getting through pretty quick here. There's so much. 2 hours. But even today, our ever-expanding knowledge of the universe and the atom, we're still just seeing the outer fringe of God's work. Just think, there's no end. There's no end to it. His mind, might, and majesty are beyond comprehension. Thanks to his own genius, he can never fully comprehend him or even one of his qualities. I can't understand how God made a universe that never ends. And God's, there will always be more of his wisdom to understand, more of his power, more of his holiness, and more of his love that we work to understand who he is, and we learn it through the word. Endlessly creative, wonderfully gracious, uniquely righteous, timeless, beautiful, unsearchable, glorious, infinitely loving, amazing God who is all. Finally, Paul also tells us that the one God is an accessible God. In the last part of Ephesians that I read at the beginning, Ephesians 4, and through all and in you all. That means if you're born again, he literally resides in you through his spirit. That's how close he is. And he will never have availability and accessibility to every person in every place at every point. David understood this when he said in Psalms 136:7-8, whether shall I go from thy spirit up into heaven? Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So that is saying even a person in the depth of your despair, he's there in the middle of it. He's there doing a work. God's there. A little boy named Earl one night, I gotta say. One night, Earl was sitting on the porch with his mom looking at a full moon. Little God was still on the moon, she said. God is everywhere. Is God in my tummy? Not knowing where this question were leading, his mother said, well, yes, yeah, sort of. Cookies. I thought it was cute. But God is really everywhere. God wants to have a relationship with us and so make himself available to all of us wherever we are. God wants to. Again, in the sermon on Mars Hill, Paul speaks of God live. Then he says in Acts 17:27-28, that they should seek the Lord. That they should seek the Lord. If happily, he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your poets have said, for think about that. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, be careful what you're doing in private. He's there. He's there. He knows the intent of the thoughts. He knows it all. We got to remind ourselves that sometimes. Maybe we wouldn't be doing some of the things we do. It sustains our very lives. The reason you're sitting here right now is only because of God. You're alive today only because God is allowing your heart to beat. We are. So, and some of you are healed this morning. But you're here because God is allowing your heart to beat. He lives in you. He resides in you. His audience to understand that God was and is not only knowable, but he's nearby. Wherever you are, wherever you go, God is there. But he wants to seek, find him. See, God's not lost. God wasn't lost. God found you. God says, you didn't choose me. I chose you to seek him. It's not because he's lost and we got to go hunting for him. No. He knows we're lost because he's right here. That's why he says, seek me and you'll find me, because he's here. He's here. And if you're sincerely seeking God, then God will make himself. I have church services even. How many would love to be in a church service all day long? No, some of you are being honest. But the only way I would, if I knew God was moving in a supernatural way. How many know that if there was dead people, they brought people in caskets and we raised them from the... How many want to see crippled people coming in? People eating up with cancer. How do you want to see, come in and see God recreate? How many want to see some of our soldiers that have died for us and be raised war, and they come into a church like that and the people pray for them and they creation, they come back. You say, boy, that's getting too extreme. That's getting too radical. No, it's not. Did you know he's got a big storehouse up there? He's got all kinds of arms and legs and eyeballs and all kinds of stuff up there. He's just waiting for somebody to believe him for it. We're hearing reports all the time of people getting restored. One guy just talked about his mother's leg was totally restored. It was gone. Another mother had her get all new gut in her stomach. This is in our day. You can go find what God's doing around the world. That's what, because there's people that are saying, I believe God's here today. God, move at Crossfire Assembly. He promised the Israelites in Deuteronomy 4:29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul. How many of us seek God with all of our heart and soul? 2 minutes. That's not your whole heart and soul. He's not lost. We are. Jesus, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Either you want to find him or you don't. And I tell you what, God's word, brothers said here, is true. Draw nigh to God. If you draw nigh to God, you start practicing, reading the word, praying, fellowshipping, doing what God's told us to do, and you do it, you draw nigh to you. And the closer he gets to you, your faith is going to start going through the roof. And when your faith starts going there, you're going to start believing for anything and everything. Because no fear. Boldness will come out. Wisdom will come out of your mouth because you're drawing nigh to him. God said, you draw nigh to me and I'm going to draw. He wants to see if we really care. Three common threads through to seek him out with all of our hearts and soul, to reach out for him, to draw near to him. And when we do, he will draw near to us. We will find him. In conclusion, Christians differ and disagree about many things, don't we? We do, and that's only normal. We have different perspectives and different preferences. The fact that disagreements arise shouldn't surprise us. We're going to have disagreements, right? After all, it's been happening since the early church. Read the book of Corinth. Jesus, there's disagreements there, but the church still is the church. The church is still the church. But all of our differences and disagreements, they don't have to. We need to learn to grow up and mature. Did you hear that, people? We need to learn to grow up and mature, and not as we learn to get along and learn to resolve them, and even if we don't, we part loving one another. We need to grow up and mature in the church today. We got too many babies. We all got the same Heavenly Father. He told us who he was. He's here. He wants to do a work in all of our lives. Together, seven ones that I read earlier. that unite us all. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. That's what binds us together right there. All of our little pettiness, let's try to get rid of it, and let's watch him begin to do something supernaturally to who he really is. I pray that for every church, that people are finally wants us to be in these dangerous end times right now, because believe me, persecution is coming to America. It's already here. If we can't, people, amen? But we're an army of believers, and we need to learn to get along, to love one another, because we have a Heavenly Father. He's not coming to a congregation and say, you, you're better than them. He comes in and says, whomsoever will. I have the same desire, because he's looking at the ones he created, and he loves his creation. Let's all stand. God, let's work together to maintain the unity. Let's work. It takes work to maintain unity within a body. It takes work. For simple little things. When God wants to do a work to build his kingdom through us as a body. That's what my prayer, to maintain the unity of spirit together. And answer the prayer of Jesus that all those who believe in him may someday be one. That's his desire. I just quickly want to ask this. Is there anyone in here today that you say, I've never given my life to Jesus? I've never committed my life. If I go to heaven, if I died right now, and you could die before you even leave the building, you don't know. And if you're in here, just simply raise up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you ever. Jesus said, ye must be born again to enter heaven. And if you're not, you say, I don't know if I am, Pastor. I don't care if you've been coming to this church for 10 years. And you say, you better know. Because Jesus said, you can know that you are saved. Your spirit will bear witness with his. Is there anyone? How many would agree with me in this hour? I need to work hard to draw nigh to God in this hour. How many want to know your Heavenly Father more intimately than you? This loving God is so close that you'll sense his love so powerful, you won't want to walk away from him. You won't want to quit reading your Bible. You won't want to quit serving. He's here. Heavenly Father, we stand before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're leaky vessels. We kind of drain out during the week, but Lord, I'm asking you, fill us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, our hearts and our lives, and a desire to draw close to you this week, that we can begin to experience answers in our lives, in our home, that we can experience you doing a work through us, using your members, your people, your creation, bringing us together as one. Then people walk into the church that they will drop to their knees because they sense you, your power, because the people are all in agreement. We're all rejoicing. And that you put in our hearts a desire for the lost, that we'll fall in love with you so much we will want to cry out to the world and say, to Jesus, to our Heavenly Father. Lord, put that within our spirits. Let us be convicted if we're not doing. Even in the privacy of our home, Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit will convict us, Father, that we not spend so much time maybe on our iPhone, spending more time with the I Am, our Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, we thank you for this day. We praise you for it, Father. If fear sets in, despair sets in, hopelessness sets in, help us to remember to cry out, Abba, Father. It's going to come up on us suddenly. And Lord, you told us to not be afraid of sudden fear. But we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Daddy, Daddy, I need your help. Daddy, I need your wisdom. I need your direction. Help me. Heavenly Father, I pray that for this congregation, that we'll fall so much in love with you, Lord, that we will drop things off that shouldn't be in our lives, that are hurting us and hindering us. Even you would bring in more people, gifted people within churches like this one, young and old alike, Father, gifted and full of the Holy Ghost and anointed, and you care for us. Lord, touch every home, meet every person's need domestically, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And Lord, I know some are on the way, and they're going to come in ways that we never expect, but they're coming. And we thank you, Lord, for your ever-present involvement in our life. And even in the midst of trial, we still have the victory because you are our Father. And we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And
amen.
Everybody shouted.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Have a blessed day and have some good fellowship. Shake somebody's hand if you don't know them. And tell somebody, Abba Father.